You're welcome. You're welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're all off today. I love when we start like that. That just shows what kind of show it's going to be. You don't even have to listen to the rest. You know. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, hi. This is why is this a thing? Oh my god.
Oh my god. This is a terrible intro.
I know you guys can't see, but a bird actually just came out of Zach's throat.
Imagine.
Just some Siegfried and Roy shit.
I swallowed a robin's egg a month ago, and it's just,
it just hatched.
That's where it went. So this is really exciting, even though you wouldn't be able to tell from the quality of our actual show. The quality of the sound might be a little bit better. We're coming in with two microphones, still three hosts, but two microphones on our way to three.
Yep, we're working on it. Oh, we're clapping into the mic.
Oh, yeah, clap the mic. What happened to the audience?
Hold on. You know what? I think I'm pretty sure I told the audience to go fuck themselves.
Okay, hold on. Now, look at that. Now you can hear the audience in stereo.
That's exciting. Wow.
This is exciting. It's a step up for us, and we want to thank everyone that used the Amazon link, amazon.nicoempire.com. Helped fund this minor
upgrade.
See,
I don't like this setup, mainly because now he can just stare at us the entire time. Well, yeah, I'm really uncomfortable.
We're looking
back,
you know, pretty soon we're all just gonna be sitting like round table style, looking at each other. It's gonna be weird.
We're gonna be crisscross applesauce.
Because we're used to sitting next to each other.
Yeah, we're gonna have a giant fire in the middle of us, and we're gonna be barefoot. It's gonna be a great time.
We'll be ideally, drinking brandy out of some snifters.
Oh, that's right. Ideally, we gotta get four mics because we gotta get our guest mic.
Oh.
Right,
we have our guest mic. It's just the really bad one that we have.
Yeah. Oh, the bad mic that we have.
Yeah,
they get to use the one from the laptop.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, they can call us from the phone and come and see us in person. So again, if you want to support the show, amazon.nicoempire.com is the place to go. Do all your Amazon shopping there, you guys, and then we can get three mics in here, mixing all together. We'll get sound effects. It'll be a great time.
Now, question. Are you going to get three of the same... Are you going to get... So, we're using the snowballs. Are you going to get three snowballs? Or are you just going to get another mic and just have three random mics?
Depending on how this audio track sounds when I listen back to it. I mean, this is sort of an experiment with the snowball. If it sounds good, I mean, it's a fairly affordable mic and we'll get a third one. Because these are just really pricey and ridiculous. But if they sound relatively similar, then yeah, we'll get a third snowball, get that rocking. And it'll be great.
All right.
Exciting.
So, there we go.
Yeti makes good ones too.
Yes, yes, Yeti, and
I just don't know.
Snowballs or mics?
What? Mics.
Oh, okay.
Mics.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Not great, but not bad.
You know, I work with what I have. You know.
Yeah. I just don't know the price comparison to like the snowball. But.
Yeah. So here we are, and this is a great occasion to do our first multi-mic show. Because we're advancing both in our technical ability and in the quality of the content we're watching.
Slowly.
We watched something today that I can only describe as a masterpiece, a work of art, an incredible thing to behold, and it's called Horace and Pete.
Horace and Pete.
Doesn't really sound like a very exciting name, quite frankly.
No, but it sounds exactly what you think. It sounds exactly what this show is, though.
Yeah. On one hand, it is what you expect. Like, if I were to describe this to you, like, I could describe it to you in a fairly succinct way, but there is so much going on here that you cannot even comprehend how amazing this is. You guys had no idea what this was.
I still don't. I'm still lost.
That's great. What were you guys expecting when I told you?
He actually wasn't here for it.
I was having a schizophrenic episode.
Oh.
Yeah. In a very wonderful sweater.
What were you guys expecting just from the very little information I told you?
I was expecting sort of like, I don't want to, forget.
Get into it, yeah.
It's Steve Buscemi and Louis C.K.
Yes.
I just said Louis.
You call him Louis C.K.?
I did. I just said it Louis.
Jeez, and put Louis your pinky C.K. up.
And I expected it to be like Louis. Mm-hmm. Like, is that show even on anymore? Is Louis still on?
It's in this weird gray area where it's like FX will do more if Louis wants to do more, but he's not interested in doing anymore.
Oh, okay.
So they may do one in like 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so fair. It's the opposite of like legit.
Right. It's the what they call the Larry David deal, which is like Larry David, whenever he feels like doing Curb Your Enthusiasm, he just does it. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I expected it to be like Louis, But set in, like, the Cheers universe.
Okay.
I like the idea that there's a Cheers cinematic universe.
Yeah, of course there is.
There has to be. It can't take place on our own.
Yeah. It's the same universe as Taxi.
Ooh. That's the universe I want to live in now. Fuck this Marvel versus DC shit. I want to be in the Taxi, Cheers. Is Frasier? Well, I mean, obviously it's Cheers, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, who's that guy?
Could we throw, like, Bones in there?
No.
Just to mess it up.
Who's the guy that just retired? They did the Friends.
Oh, yeah, James Burroughs? James Burroughs.
He has, like, one. So it's like Friends is in that universe.
Oh, is that, like, real? And that's not, like, a theory?
No, I'm making this shit up.
Okay, good.
Like, right here, right now. But I want it to be real.
That's a good theory, though.
I want it all to... Because there's always been that thing, oh, like in Friends, there's no way 20-somethings could afford that nice of an apartment.
Yeah.
So, it's in a different universe, clearly.
Yeah. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I definitely want to live there. Let's greenlight this, Sony, or Warner Brothers, or whatever.
Or somebody.
Let's do it.
And then they get bought out by someone.
Yes.
I was convinced that the show is actually going to be about... Well, see, Louis and Steve Buscemi are, they're both playing homosexual men who meet each other, fall deeply, deeply in love, only to find that they're actually long-lost brothers. And they have to confront this new situation of knowing that they are blood-related, 100%, and yet they've been making sweet, sweet butt love to each other.
It sounds like they can have kids.
Which is the final consensus is we can't have children so we can continue in our ways. And they decide to butt fuck each other to heaven.
The way to heaven. Just like on the way up.
That's what I thought it was about.
Well, for all we know though, that could still be the plot of the show. Like, that's not outside the realm of possibility.
Well, I think in this episode they found out they weren't brothers.
That's true. Really, it's not that far apart.
It did the opposite.
It was the complete opposite thing.
Yeah, now they're going to stop buck fucking because they couldn't before.
But now it's okay.
Now it's okay, yeah.
No, that's not what it's about at all. I was wrong.
Again, not too far off.
What about you? I knew you knew what it was about, but what did you think it was going to be?
Was this your first time watching this?
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't watch it without us.
I did not, no.
What did you think it was going to be?
Well, I just saw this headline. This was, what, beginning of February?
Something like that.
I just saw this headline somewhere. Louis C.K. drops a surprise show on his website.
Yeah.
This was not rumored. There was no, like, oh, Steve Buscemi and Edie Falco and Alan Alda were spotted in Los Angeles. Like, none of this was leaked at all. They kept this 100% secret. And one day, Louis C.K. just says, hey, I put a show on my website. Buy it if you want to. And the responses that I heard were so all over the place that I really had no idea what to expect out of it. Like, there are two very distinct states of mind with this show. One is that it is a piece of art and it's brilliant and it's Louis C.K. doing what Louis C.K. does. And the other frame of mind was this is a piece of shit that doesn't deserve to be viewed. And, like, that was fascinating to me. I did know that Louis has an obsession with old Hollywood and with old television. He did a show actually on HBO called Lucky Louis. No one knows what the show is. It was a show on HBO and it was actually similar to this. They shot it in front of a live studio audience with crappy sets and they played to the audience, not to the people at home. And it was like this honeymooners style sitcom. And that show bombed. Absolutely flopped. This, Horace and Pete, is taking that concept to the next level and saying, not only are we going to do an old school, like, stage play on television, we're going to do it with no laugh tracks, no audience, and also it's not really a comedy. And we're just going to throw it up against the wall. And so in that respect, I knew what the framework was going to be. I didn't expect what I saw. Yeah. So here's my first question to you guys. What is this? Because I don't think you can define what this is.
Yeah, it's... Well, defining it would do it in huge injustice, but as in the spirit of the show, we're going to define it.
Sure.
The way I saw it, it was a... It's not a comedy. It's a drama, but...
You think so?
Yeah, but the way... Especially Steve Buscemi. But the way that the people act in it is funny. I think you have to have a sort of dark sense of humor, though. Mm. Because, especially with Pete's we established it was schizophrenia. It might be something else. But with his
schizophrenic
episode?
That's like, how a schizophrenic says that word, by the way. that's wow. very insensitive.
During his episodes when he's like, he's just standing there and he goes, ah, and he throws a broom.
Yes.
Like, that's funny, but in a really dark and sort of twisted way.
Yeah. Nick, your thoughts?
So here's something that I just noticed about Louis all the time is his comedy is so like raw and unique, and it's the type of thing that you can't make up. And so every time I watched, like when I was watching this, I just kept thinking, like, how bad is Louis's life? because literally this is Louis's personality, okay? His life seems like it's pretty shitty a lot of the time, and it seems like from his perspective, he creates all of his own problems, and he beats himself up over it, and the only way he finds happiness is to laugh at himself at the end of the day.
Well, if art is from pain, like, Louis's got a lot of stuff to draw from.
Right? And this entire show, it had Louis's sense of comedy, but there was absolutely no point in which any of the characters were, like, intentionally being funny. That's the thing. There's no intention. It's not meant to be a comedy, like, from their perspective. It's a comedy for us.
I think Buscemi and Alda are playing it with some... And I think Louis, too. No, they're playing
it, but they're characters.
They're playing for laughs. Oh, well... Huh.
Whereas, like, when you watch Friends, they're, like, having a good time, and this is a drama.
Right.
But from an outside perspective, it's fucking hilarious, and it's painful, because I just realize how shitty Louis's life is.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed.
That is the one thing that makes Louis such a fascinating... Like, to me, he's one of the most fascinating people in the world right now. To watch him keep chasing that artistic sort of endpoint, right? I don't know what the word for it is, but to continue to just go after that inspiration, to achieve his masterpiece... You just watch him, and he's trying so hard, and he's literally just throwing a million things up against the wall. And sometimes they bomb, and sometimes they're amazing, and no one understands them. And to watch someone like that, I think he is truly one of the great artists of our time. Like, I think he's one of the great stand-ups, he's one of the great comedy minds, and to watch a guy work like that, to just say, yeah, I'm gonna do this TV show with my famous friends because I feel like it, and I don't know what it is, and you don't know what it is, but we're gonna do it just because that's what art is so fascinating.
He kind of looks like a cross between like Shakespeare and Van Gogh.
Oh, that's not bad.
But he actually does, though, for real.
Well, I feel like a little fat. I feel like this is Louis's version of the Bill Murray Christmas special, where Bill Murray got on there and like he just did whatever, and it wasn't coherent, it wasn't, you know, extremely well thought out, but in Louis's sense, it's thought out to the point where they can get it done, and that's about it.
This is 20 times further, though, down that rabbit hole. than what the Murray Christmas was. Like, that was still your typical musical TV special, and it was Bill Murray being Bill Murray, but there wasn't a lot of, like, pushing the boundaries there. This, I don't know, like, to even classify it as a comedy or drama, I don't even think that's where we have to begin. Is this even a TV show? Like, in 2016, like, that line is so blurred right now. Can we really consider this a TV show? It's not on TV. It's direct to the people. It's not really any sort of, like, format in terms of sitcom or drama. Like,
that weird intermission, it's definitely a play on... it's a play on theatrical. I mean, obviously, as you said. It's a... What do they call them?
A teleplay.
It's a teleplay. Yeah. It's a teleplay, but it's an internet teleplay.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But it's not a TV show, is it?
No.
Is this a TV show?
He's revitalizing an old lost art form.
But it's not even a show. Like, it doesn't even have, like, an arc that you would see in most TV shows in that way, either. It's not done with any convention.
I don't know.
It's really, even when Netflix says that House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, those are TV shows. Like, I kind of buy that, but they're still on the internet. This is just... I have a camera and a sound crew and a bunch of famous people. We're going to put them in a room together, and I'm going to sell you this videotape. Like, it's essentially like if I had bought Like, if someone had came up to me on the street and say, hey, dude, I made this half-hour thing about a bunch of people at a bar, and they gave it to me, and I put the videotape in my VCR, right? Like, I would expect that level of quality. I would not be surprised by the level of quality there. This is just... Man, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I don't even know what this is, but I love the fact that I don't know what this is. And to see, like, it's rough around the edges, too. They're messing up dialogue every once in a while. The camera's blurry.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you think that any of this was scripted or practiced before? Or do you think it was just kind of, like, done on the fly? No, it is.
I think so.
Like, scripted at least, but, like, do you think they practiced? Or do you think they just kind of, like, went for it?
They have table reads.
Yeah. Yeah,
every Monday is a table read.
Oh, yeah? Did you look this
up? Yeah.
Okay.
So every Monday is a table read.
Yeah.
Tuesday, and I don't know what the fuck this means, but they box out the cameras.
Yeah, it's
I don't know what that means. I really don't care.
They make sure they're in the right spots.
Sure. Wednesday, Thursday, they film. Friday, Louis edits.
In one day?
Yeah. Friday, he edits. And then Saturday, it gets posted.
He does the same thing with Louis. He does the same thing with his other show. Like, he said, like, normally, like, you've heard of people writing, directing, and starring in things. You never hear about those people actually editing their shit. He literally goes to Starbucks with his Mac, and he just edits the show and just sends it to FX. And that's, like, a multi-million-dollar show.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Who does that? It's incredible. Like, that's what I'm saying. So this, it's so amazing that this exists. Like, it warms my heart that something like this, that we live in a world where people can just do shit. And that Louis C.K. can just have the power every week
to capitalize on it.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. Okay, so how should we recap this episode?
I don't even know where to begin. I really don't.
Let's talk about our man Buscemi.
Buscemi, yeah. How the fuck did he get involved with No, seriously, how did he get involved with Louis? How did that work?
I feel like they're just friends. Like, I feel like Louis is going to be, like, calls up Buscemi and goes, hey, you want to go get, like, dinner?
Yeah, but, like, where did they
go get dinner?
Like, did they ever meet? Like, where did they ever meet? Like,
no, it's just one of those weird things where, they're friends. We don't really know how. We just are.
They were at a comedy festival. That doesn't happen, though.
I feel like the two of them were at, like, a cocktail party or something, and they exchanged phone numbers because they were a little tipsy.
Yeah, you know, I bet you Louis is like, hey, I have a great idea for a show. Here's my number.
I'll bet you what it was. No, Louis came up with this show like 2 months ago because there's no way this was well thought out. He was sitting around in January. This was so amazing about this. Like literally 2 months ago, sitting in his apartment saying, you know what? This is a great idea for a show. Scrolling through his Rolodex. Oh, I have Steve Buscemi's number.
Hold on. Louis C.K. has a Rolodex?
Yes. Dex? A hypothetical deck? Or a metaphorical Rolodex.
Is it multiple deck? Is it a roll of Dex?
Dex. A roll of Dex.
Is it Dex or Dex? I always thought it was like a
It's like a roll of Dex.
I thought he said like Rolex, so.
No, a roll of Dex.
A roll of Dex.
The little thing that you spin. Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day when you didn't have cell phones with digital contact.
Yeah, but Louis has a cell phone.
No, I like to believe that Louis C.K.
choose to believe that he has
absolutely
filled with like business cards and stuff.
Absolutely,
of course. Steve Buscemi, you pull it out. It has like contact information.
Are you implying that Steve Buscemi has a business card?
It's literally just his face, and people were like, "Oh yeah, okay."
He's got the same business card like in American Psycho, where it's like he just like very
I'm bone white.
Yes. Oh, that fucking asshole.
Look at that watermark.
I forgot that movie existed.
Holy shit. I forget that movie existed.
Podcast for another day.
I think about that movie like probably once a week.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's a little weird.
No, but I think Steve Buscemi's phone number was burning a hole in Louis C.K.'s pocket. And he's like, you know what? Let's just use this. Now's as good a time as ever. And Buscemi's like, yo, I saw the Oddball Tour. Sure. Let's do this.
Horace and Pete. What a name.
Yeah.
I love it.
So,
I feel like Louis knew a Horace and a Pete, and he was just like, fuck it, I'm using their names.
Can we bring the name Horace back?
I hate that name. I hate Horace. Why would we want to bring it back? It's a terrible name. That's an old man.
What a 180 you did the last 5 seconds.
That is an old man name.
You're flip-flopping more than Hillary Clinton right now.
Wow.
You're first like, oh, I love that name, Horace and Pete.
No,
fuck Horace.
I did not say. Fuck
a Horace.
The name of the show, Horace and Pete. I like, but the name Horace, I hate.
We need more names like that. Bert. You know, we need to bring that back. Herb.
No, those are old man names.
No, let's bring it back. Horace, I love it. H names, really. We need to bring back Harry.
Harold.
Don't help him. I want to see him struggle.
Herberto. You know, all the good names. Henry. When men were men.
Yeah, we're all Henry.
Henry.
Sure.
Heinrich.
Ooh.
I'm down with Heinrich.
Heinrich.
Okay, yeah. No, let's bring them all back. I like Horace. I think it's good.
Helio 6.
I didn't see Helio 1 through 5. I wouldn't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. There you go.
Just seeing where we can go with this.
We should do a TV show, guys, and put it directly on our website. Yeah, let's do it.
Just Louis no C. notice. Doing it.
Alan Alda's probably not doing anything, right? Like, he's available.
No, he's doing Horse and Pete.
We've established he's available. We've established that Alan Alda will take any phone call. I want to go back to Steve Buscemi just for a second, though, because I want to point out, as much as we have been obsessed with Steve Buscemi during the entire run of this podcast, we did a top 10 list of our favorite photos.
Steve Buscemi.
Never did a Steve Buscemi movie.
No, we didn't.
Never talked about a Steve Buscemi movie on this show.
I've noticed that, actually.
Yeah, this is the first Steve Buscemi thing we've done.
No,
so,
yeah.
Oh, it is.
I've noticed that. No, I've noticed that.
That's weird.
I was under the impression it's because he's never done anything bad.
That's probably not true.
No, it's so
That's
not
almost
true.
Certainly not true.
Name one bad thing.
I can't now.
Good question.
Go to his IMDb.
Big Lebowski. No.
I'm telling you.
By the way, I know neither of you have seen the movie. 20th anniversary today of one of my favorite movies of all time, Fargo, starring the great Steve Buscemi. He's really good, and it's actually lined up pretty nicely. Hold on. Let me look up Steve Buscemi's IMDb for a second.
Well, I mean, he was in Mr. Deeds, which I stand by is a funny movie.
I hate Mr. Deeds.
I like Mr. Deeds.
But again, that's not a Steve Buscemi movie.
He was in The Ridiculous Six. Oh, my God. He was in The Ridiculous Six.
I like that realization.
He was in The Cobbler, another Adam Sandler movie. Apparently, they're good friends, too.
Oh, no, he's good friends with Adam Sandler. But okay, of all Sandler's friends, he's not the least successful. I mean, you got Adam Sandler, for one. And then you have Rob Schneider, which is just, ugh.
I feel like Steve Buscemi
Kevin James.
Ugh.
Just a room full of douches. I think Steve Buscemi needs to rethink his social circle. I think that's what we've established.
What do you mean? He's hanging out with Louis.
I guess so, and Alan Alda. Grown Ups 2, he was in, so there's your theory right out the window. Grown Ups 2? Yeah. He was in the incredible Burt Wonderstone.
I saw that.
I don't remember why I saw that, but I saw that, and I regret seeing it.
He was in Grown Ups the original.
When?
He was in...
Oh!
He was in The Chosen One, starring Rob Schneider, the aforementioned.
Oh my God.
Chosen One.
Pete Smalls is Dead. Apparently he was playing Pete in that as well.
Pete Smalls is Dead?
Peter Dinklage was in it.
That's wonderful.
Okay, this is an interesting realization. Steve Buscemi hasn't done shit in years.
Yeah.
He was on Boardwalk Empire for 5 seasons, and he sort of hid in the dark depths of HBO.
When did Boardwalk end?
2 years ago. I think. Yeah. It was 2010 to 2014. It's good. He's great in it. But I think that's an interesting observation here that he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he hasn't really been in a lot of movies lately, I feel like.
He was in The Sopranos for a bunch of episodes.
Well, because he's working,
you know, he's doing a lot of good stuff.
He is now.
The Bushmeister, as we call him.
Are we ready?
Is that what we call him? Or is that what you called him once just now?
I mean, listen, I'm not here to play semantics.
Are we ready for the Buscemi Renaissance? The Buscenaissance?
Buscenaissance? Buscenaissance. You have to say it like that. Buscenaissance.
The Buscenaissance.
The Buscenaissance.
Hello, fellow kids. Still a classic.
Classic.
So what did you guys think of Buscemi in this piece of art?
I think it did great.
For the record, we only watched episode 1. I just wanted to clarify that.
And there are 6 of them available at this point.
Yeah.
So they're doing like South Park schedule. They're writing and filming and editing in 1 week. Is that how it's working?
Yeah. Well, I don't know writing. But
I mean, that's what we do. But they're writing and editing.
They're table reading to launching in a week.
Wow.
I don't know when it was written. I don't know if he's writing them now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think. I would imagine Louis wrote these a long time ago.
Yeah. Or at least wrote the framework for them.
In fact,
by a long time ago, 2 months ago.
Well, no, but I bet you he wrote them a while ago, tried to get them on FX or something, and tried to get them somewhere, and didn't go through well.
Oh, maybe.
Didn't get the deal he wanted or something, and just said, fuck it, I'll do it.
Oh, that's a good theory. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I feel like if he tried, there would be a record of it somewhere, and people would know about it.
Maybe. Not always.
I have to look into it. I got to see some interviews with him, but... It's interesting, though, because there are also cultural references in it, though. So maybe, like, because he's plugging in Trump stuff and the Super Bowl stuff. Like, that was the week of the Super Bowl that came out.
They were talking about Cam Newton.
They were talking about how people hate Cam Newton because he's black. I mean, like, you cannot get more timely than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's true. That's true.
So that's what happens when you film it and then release it. 3 days later. Yeah. 2-3 days later.
So it's possible that they had the framework of, like, the story between the family, and then they... added in that stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He probably developed the framework forever ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And it sat there like most things that get written do.
Yeah.
They do just sit for a long-ass time.
But I thought Buscemi was incredible in it.
Yeah, it's...
Even though I feel like half of the episode he stared into space.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't have many lines.
Again, but ballsy for Louis C.K. to ask this of him. Like, he's calling Buscemi on the phone, like, hey, dude, like, I got your phone number that one time we were wasted down at the pub. Like,
they were at a pub?
They were at a pub.
I like that they're at a pub.
Totally at a pub.
Not at a cocktail party anymore. Now it's a pub?
They're at a pub now. It's a shitty
pub. Can you see Louis C.K.?
Yes.
At a cocktail
I can see
party.
Louis C.K. standing very uncomfortably at a cocktail party.
I see Louis C.K. like being that guy who has 4 highballs of whiskey in the corner booth. Of an old, shitty, dirty Irish pub.
No, but I imagine him getting invited to a cocktail party by some, like, actual famous person, and then him just being like, why am I here? The entire time.
No, I feel like he pulls like a Steve Carell. Where he gets invited, but he just never goes.
Yeah, I think...
Like, Steve Carell doesn't go.
I think he resents that world. Yeah. I think he's been put into it, and he's a superstar of comedy now. He's the biggest comedian in the world, and everybody loves him and wants to work with him. But I think he embraces the idea of being an outsider. I think all those people in the bar, that's where he feels most at home. Like, yeah. I feel like that's the perspective he's writing from. He's the depressed guy with father issues in the bar. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So to call Buscemi up and to say... You're going to be in this show. You're going to play a schizophrenic in this very lightly produced, if at all produced, internet show. And we're going to film it next week. And you're not going to talk for half of it. You're just going to stare in the distance as people scream at each other profanities and racial slurs. Like, ballsy ask of Buscemi. Like, I feel like Buscemi's, like, he's got Sandler money. He's got Coen Brothers money. What is he doing this for?
But then you get at when he finally sort of... realizes what's going on, and he stands up during when the lawyer's there and all that stuff, and he delivers his lines with, like, there's emotion behind
incredible monologue.
It was great,
really good,
like really you could good. You could feel the there was sheer anger coming out of him, and it was amazing.
What are you gonna say? Yeah, so
I had something I can't remember.
Okay. No, I think...
I might have interrupted
you. I'm listening intently.
Yeah.
In a way, this is a purely, like... This is an actor showcase in the purest sense. Like, we're just going to strip it bare. We're going to take out any sort of camera... Like, he, quote-unquote, directed it, but he really didn't direct it. Like, he told a bunch of cameramen where to go and what to film. He blocked it, maybe.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you guys would... It's, well, Nick was giving the camera work...
But,
shit.
But that's the point.
They weren't even in focus.
Yeah. This is just going to be a showcase for the writing and a showcase for the acting, and nothing else is going to be paid attention to at all.
That's fair.
And I think that's really cool.
No, you know, I was going to say, it was actually, I even think for someone like Buscemi, for someone of his scale, he still considers probably Louis a better comedian than himself, and he probably respects Louis and says, you know,
well, what? Buscemi's not a comedian, but...
Well, he kind of is.
Well, no, he's an actor.
He's a comedic actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a difference between being a comedian.
My point is, I think if Louis calls you, even if you're on Buscemi's level, Louis calls you and says, this is what you're going to do and it's going to be funny, you trust the guy.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think he goes, you know what? Sure.
And clearly he did. Yeah. And by the way, Buscemi wasn't the only one. There is a plethora of names in this show. Edie Falco shows up in this. I know her as Mrs. Soprano from The Sopranos is right. great in that role. Jessica Lange is in it. Man.
And I looked, and I think she's in all six episodes.
Yeah. Taking a break from American Horror Story. Yeah. Good move. Really smart.
What's the next one? Cruz? Not Ted Cruz.
Tom?
Not Tom Cruise.
American Horror Story, Tom Cruise.
No, yes. It's like a boat.
What now?
Like no. Is it?
I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
What? All I know is that they're on hotel now.
American
they're Horror? Like on they're on hotel.
Wait, yeah. What are they doing? Buffet next?
And I don't know.
Movie theater.
American Horror Story, Motel 6.
DMV.
Next in line 6. There is no line 6.
Kathy Bates is just sitting at the front of a desk the whole time. Lady Gaga is the driving instructor from hell.
Take a left here, but it's straight. Oh my god.
It's like the Black Lagoon series. Kids books. You remember those?
No.
Like Teacher from the Black Lagoon and you really? Don't remember these?
No, I don't remember those.
I actually vaguely do. What the fuck was it like scientists from the Black
Lagoon? It was like
Lagoon?
Yeah, it was this kid and the whole we're getting way off topic, but fuck it.
It's fine.
It's fine.
The whole idea was this kid was like terrified of going to school and doing these things because he heard stories of like the bus driver being a giant twat and being mean and all this stuff. So it was the bus driver from the Black Lagoon, and then he sees the bus driver and like he's just a cool bus driver. Like
oh, okay.
That's it's a kid's book, so there's gonna be some moral.
It's like
it.
The theme of Home Alone.
Yeah. But
that's the theme of Home Alone, right?
Is it? Yeah.
The guy with the shovel, the
guy
girl
with the shovel is okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking I don't think that's it.
No, Joe Pesci was a bad guy. Like he was not like some anti-hero. There's some theory. Joe Pesci's the real hero of Home Alone.
I don't know about
but,
that.
But no, like it's that thing.
What were we talking
that's
about?
That's what the new American Horror Story is going to be. Black that's Lagoon. Fair. There we go.
Yeah, Jessica Lange is in it because she's on American Horror Story. There we go. Yeah, Adi Bryant is the girl's name from SNL. She plays the daughter. Who am I missing? Am I missing anybody else? That's basically the main cast. Yeah, I said Alan Alda.
Alan Alda, yeah.
Is Buscemi's father. Spoiler alert, Buscemi's father.
But not the father, but is the father,
technically. Uncle Pete. Alan Alda. This could be my favorite television performance of the year.
Well, he said the N-word.
He said a lot of words.
He said a lot of things. He said, in quick succession.
Listen, Nico, do you know what a pissant is?
It's just a bug that doesn't do anything except smell like piss.
At least a cocksucker can do something. Sucks cock. A piss ant just sits there and smells like piss.
Oh my god.
That was a line in the fucking episode.
So he says cunt. Actually, I swore off that word. We're not saying cunt anymore.
When did we swear off that word?
I didn't agree to that.
I swore off that word. Not you two. There's a story about
so
that.
I can still say cunt?
Say cunt all you want.
Oh, I know you can't, yeah.
Yeah, I swore off a cunt. Not say cunt anymore.
Smart.
I'll explain later.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'll still say it.
Yeah. The F word, which I have swore off of, but you haven't, I don't think.
Why did you swear off
when he said fag?
Yeah.
Oh.
Swearing off of that word.
I thought you meant, I meant fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, he said fag, he said the N-word.
Yes.
He said cunt. This is an old fucking man.
But that's who...
He's a walking corpse.
Like, but we all know, like, we all probably have a grandpa who's like that. Or know someone who's like that.
I don't know, my grandpa's at that age, so.
What?
He doesn't talk much.
Oh. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
He can barely hear conversations.
Jesus,
so
hearing
like...
aid people are not racist? What, they were in Auschwitz
Facts.
Or something?
Facts.
My God.
There's two distinctive groups. Racists and people who wear hearing aids. There's no crossover whatsoever.
I will say...
So, do you have a hearing aid?
I have one.
You have one?
Have one.
It's not yours, but you have one.
Yes.
Yeah.
My God. I was dying laughing because it resonated with me when Alda said that they served coloreds in the 30s. I was dying because I'm like, my grandfather uses that word all the time.
Coloreds?
He uses coloreds.
We were okay. I probably shouldn't be telling this story, but whatever. We were watching Shark Tank like 2 weeks ago. I was watching like recordings of Shark Tank, and Damon John was on there, obviously. And
I would just like to point out, he has recordings of Shark Tank.
Yeah.
What's he going to do during the commercial break?
Yeah, I DVR Shark Tanks. They're really piling up. I got to binge watch Shark Tank one day.
It's taking up a huge portion. Oh,
but I never,
God,
like, watch it.
He's
ahead.
He's never going to be able to finish them.
I mean, off topic, Mr. Slomsky used to show us that in class.
It's the
Shark
best.
Tank? Because he thought it made sense to teach us in a marketing class in high school.
It's great.
Watch Shark Tank. That's...
And for that reason, I'm out. So, yeah, so David John's on there. My grandfather didn't know who he was, and he just said, "Who's the colored guy?" And with no, like, sneer or laugh, it was just serious. That's what he calls black people, is coloreds. And I just started dying, like, you did not just say that, and I had to correct him, and he had no idea.
Well, you know what's kind of not funny, but...
It is funny, though.
Well, you know what's interesting is I know a lot of bars that have signs, especially in, like, Meriden... And these sort of bad towns that, I mean, they don't, most of the listeners probably don't know about it, but these bad towns around us, they'll have signs that say no colors. Like, we don't serve colors. And.
Where do they have this?
There's one, but no, let me explain.
Okay.
Before you start judging.
Okay, I'm not judging.
I went to one over in Meriden. It's a townie bar. So everyone who grew up in Meriden goes to this bar. My dad goes to this bar.
Okay.
I know people I went to high school with, not high school, I went to elementary school with, like, really young, who I've seen at this bar. And they have a sign that says, no colors, right on the door. And this woman came in, and the bartender's telling me this, and goes, you know, that's really racist, that's really insensitive, why can't colors come in? You know, take it down, or I'm going to, like, call the police and blah, 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 blah. And the woman looks at her and goes, do you know what that means? And she goes, no. And he goes, the whole thing is motorcycle gangs, they don't allow people who wear the colors of the motorcycle gangs. But I know a lot of bars that have this that have signs like that.
Yeah.
But there's no explanation behind it.
Hmm. Yes, they should maybe rethink that
terminology. But, yeah. But it makes sense to everyone in the bar. They're like, right. Oh, yeah, like, if you're Hell's Angels, you can't come in here.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
Isn't that, it's not... funny, but it's interesting.
What if you're a black Hell's Angels? That's you're gonna get mixed signals.
Still can't go in.
But you,
what if you're a gay black Hell's Angel?
They don't cancel each other out.
That's a shame.
Color over colors.
Yeah,
yeah. Color divided by color
equals yes.
One.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I gotta say. When old people are racist.
Tell me more, Nick.
Then he's going to talk about young people.
When old people are racist, I don't think it's, like, racist. I think it's just, like, a page out of a history book. Like, it's necessary.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
Because...
they're just artifacts.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, when you look at, like, photos in, like, a museum or a textbook of, like, really racist shit going on, it's, like, it's history. It's not, like, you're not condoning it. That's an old person. You know, you don't have to condone their behavior. You don't have to correct them either, though. You know, they're a history book. Just
yeah.
Let them be racist until they die.
And, yes. Well, yes. That you're correct on that 100%. Like, they're just... what are they going to do at this point? Like,
well,
they have nothing else to live
for. Uncle Pete said, I'm not racist. Racist is what you do. You know,
that was a great line.
It is a great line because especially if you're older, if you're younger, it's sort of less accepted. But if you're older,
a little bit less,
you
accepted.
Can say whatever bit. The hell you want. Just don't act upon it. People are like, oh, they're old. Just let them be.
Well, you got to remember, he grew up in the fucking generation where people were lynching people.
That's exactly. True.
So to him, he's like, I'm not racist. I didn't lynch people. I let them drink here.
Exactly. Right.
In that perspective, yeah, he's not a racist.
Like, probably our grandparents remember a time when there was separate water fountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, and so that was a thing that existed not all that long ago.
Right. But, like, our generation is like, oh, you, like, you know, it's, you know, a little PC.
And
yeah.
Which is fine.
And what's so great, too, is that, and this is what I believe, people disagree with me, but whatever, is that we're able to laugh at the bigotry. And to me, that is a powerful statement.
Yeah.
Like, to say that it is so... like, it's funny because it is so outside of our purviews. Like, we don't live in a world where that's acceptable anymore. So anything outside of that is just wacky. It's bizarre. And I think that is – some people will say, oh, it's insensitive. You shouldn't be making those types of jokes. I think it's a really empowering thing to say, you know, it's funny when you use the word colored because no one actually uses it seriously anymore.
No one ever used, yeah.
Or not, obviously there's a minority, but most people don't anymore. And it's great that no one does. Let's laugh at this bizarre thing. That's why I find racism funny, well, at least.
Yeah, and
it's because it's outside of my
life. Yeah, and another thing is it's not founded in true belief anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all guilty of saying racist jokes. We don't believe any of them because there's so much evidence to the contrary. So I'm not saying it's okay to say them, you know, use discretion, but...
But it is empowering when you see, like, Chris Rock go on stage at the Oscars and say things like, you know, 50 years ago we were too busy being raped and lynched yeah. to boycott the Oscars or whatever. Like, there's something very rewarding about that. Obviously, there's still ways to go, and obviously there is a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed, but the idea that it is foreign is a really cool thing. I understand this is three white guys talking about race relations.
I was about to say, as a white man, I agree.
Yeah, but...
I'm sure if I wasn't a white man, I wouldn't.
And I will say, too, that's another thing that I loved about this show is there is a lot of nuance in the writing to that. It really doesn't paint Alan Alda as the villain.
No.
There is a lot of respect for the character, and there's not a lot of black and white, good guy, bad guy, bigot, you know, okay, liberal, conservative. There's a lot of gray area, and that's what's so great about the
show. It seems really reality-based. Because, like I said, I mean, I'm sure we all have or know someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they start saying things like that, we don't be like, we don't go, oh my God, like, what are you, we just like, ah, fuck it. He said it. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Grandpa.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, people, there was one person and there was one chick in the bar who said like, oh, I think she should stop saying stuff like that. And everyone else is like, fuck it, go somewhere else if you don't like it. Like,
I love the fact that there were, like, four or five generations of children just named Horace and Pete who kept running this bar. I love that that's, like, a thing in the story.
No, there was eight.
See, how does that make sense for 100 years, eight generations? That's 12 and a half years between them. Do you realize how fucked that is?
They started young, man. They were like, churning out babies, like, right out of middle school.
Yeah, they didn't even have middle school back then.
No, they didn't.
No, yeah, I don't understand that.
But
I do like the fact that they just keep having a generation name their kid Horace and Pete. Like, I think that's funny.
And I sympathize with
a concept like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I sympathize with Alan Alda when he's like, it's been in our family for generations.
Yeah,
and they definitely beat their wives, and they had their, like, obviously there's a, it's a mixed, sort of, I don't know, I have mixed feelings on
it. Is tradition good? Is like,
yeah, but I did sympathize. I'm like, yeah, don't break up this tradition. It's great, even though it is...
But nobody wants to do it.
Yeah.
Even though the basis of the tradition is founded in it's this thing that shouldn't be, it's still a tradition. I mean, there's a lot of things that are like that, though.
But is tradition good? That's the question, I think, really.
Yeah, but it doesn't answer these questions, and it doesn't pretend to know the answers.
One episode.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But yeah, they don't. You don't see Louis C.K.'s character. You don't see Horace the Eighth. Is he the Eighth or is he the Ninth?
No, he's the Eighth.
Was Horace the Eighth the one who died?
Louis C.K.'s the Eighth.
The Eighth. Okay, yeah. So you don't see Horace the Eighth trying to explain what his uncle is saying to the lawyer, because I don't think they know what to say. And I think that just shows, even today, we can't explain tradition. It's just tradition.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time?
We got 45 minutes. Down.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you guys about the people at the bar. It's an interesting group of people that gathered.
Sure.
At the bar.
Definitely.
So they had, I'll briefly like describe each of them the best I can. They have this one guy in the back. He's just kind of
Leon.
Is his name Leon?
Yep.
He kind of looks like a lowlife. He just sits there. He doesn't really talk much. He doesn't even seem to take his shot ever. He has a shot sitting there, and he never drinks it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First one to walk in the bar at 1 o'clock.
Pacing himself.
But, and he's scribbling on, like, a napkin.
Yeah, he's scribbling.
Mind you, he brought his own napkin.
And then, yeah. It's really... you
saw that.
I did not pick up
he
on
came
that.
In. He had a napkin folded up into fours. He sat down, unfolded it, mm-hmm. and Pete put the shot glass, right on the napkin.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is. He's a little strange to me. So next we have a, I don't know how to describe, maybe an anarchist. This guy seems like he hates the world. Right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah.
He just kinda hates everything. He's like, ah, fuck it. Let's just let the world burn. He doesn't care.
He's the guy who always has a very strong opinion, whether it's... And it's always against whatever.
It's always
thinks.
The wrong opinion.
Yeah.
Next to him is... I just labeled her as the bitch.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She's just kind of a bitch.
A little bit.
She's annoying. I don't like her. Yeah. Opinionated young bitch.
Sure.
Next to her, 50-year-old conservative lawyer.
Yeah.
Assistant DA, to be exact.
Assistant DA.
No, yes, yeah.
There's assistant DA.
Yes.
Now, next to him, we had, he was only in the second half, but he was the mediator, I suppose.
I liked him.
Right? He was a middle ground who helped, next to him was...
He seemed the hippie.
Next to him was the liberal hippie, and the mediator helped the two of them, the media...
I'm saying the mediator was like a hippie.
I don't think so. I think more the liberal. And it doesn't matter. So there was the liberal and the conservative, the mediator between them, and he kind of brought them together. And then at the end of the table was the old drunk lady.
Marsha.
Who apparently was fucking Horace the Seventh before he died.
It's how you make a family, you know.
It's how you make a family. Fucking's how you make a family.
And that was Jessica Lange's character.
That was Jessica Lange, yes.
What I want to know from you guys is, what do these characters mean? Why these characters? Why not other characters?
I think...
And they're going to return, I feel, right?
Probably.
The DA doesn't...
Okay.
I think Leon's in two.
Okay.
So what purpose did they fulfill, though? What did they do? What was their purpose? Like,
I think it is a subset of society. I mean, I'm getting real philosophical, too.
Well, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. It is America's hatred towards one another. This is a petri dish of everything, of all hatred and vitriol and disgust for people that we don't agree with and that we don't see eye to eye of. In a way, it is sort of it's a diverse group, but it's also one that just will attack anybody that is not 100% like them. So, I mean, it is to show, I mean, the political commentary in that scene where they're debating conservative and liberal, I thought was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Of the idea of just, you know, we continue to yell at each other and we don't even pretend to care about the other person's point of view. In a way, it's kind of a weird comparison. Did you guys see Hateful Eight?
No.
Yeah. Not a great movie. A little long, a little slow, kind of boring in the first 2 hours. But there is a lot of...
The first 2 hours.
Yes. That sentence.
You heard that right, yeah. I did not make a mistake there. But once it gets into it, there's a lot of, like, social commentary of the eight people in the room are so totally different. And it was really just a nugget of all of the... hatred, and that's why it's called The Hateful Eight, of how we treat one another. Very similar to this. However, Hateful Eight didn't pretend to see each other's points of view. And this at least showed some sort of remedy. Hateful Eight was very pessimistic and like, these are eight people that are going to keep fighting and we're never going to stop fighting because that's what people are like. And this seemed to like at least suggest that maybe there's a solution for this sort of thing.
I sort of took away that it was less of a commentary on how we all hate each other, essentially, is what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it as, you know, it's what you would see in a bar like this. You know, you see the woman who was with the original owner who died.
Yeah.
You see an assistant DA who's not too thrilled with his life. You see the guy who just hates everything and just wants to get away from it all. You see the sort of whacked out there. Like, my family has a long history with the Elks Club, which is like a Lions Club or Rotary Club or whatever. And I remember, you know, going there when I was younger, and me and my sister would go upstairs and play pool or watch TV or what have you. But there was people like this sitting around the bar. And I think it's... 'cause before we were saying, you know... people just sort of accepted it, like the racism and all that. And I think that goes to show you this is a bar. This is where people come to have a few drinks. This isn't a commentary. This isn't anything like that. This is a real place that happens.
So you think it was aiming towards realism?
Yeah, I think it was. I think if I was writing this and I wanted the realism, I would go to a bar.
And not like social commentary at all, though.
No,
you don't think there was a purpose.
No, I would go to a bar and be and see the people there and ask questions. I'm like, oh, hey, what do you do?
But it is indicative, I think, of what the world is like. Like, yeah. Clearly, that scene about the presidential debate was clearly aimed at. It's not just these individuals in a bar. It is indicative of something much larger. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I fell somewhere between you guys, I think.
I don't know. Are these types of conversations happening at bars? Like, I'm not familiar, obviously, with the walks of life that are they actually having screaming matches about this sort of thing?
Not, you know. The hipster guy yelling at the assistant DA.
The hipsters were
no, they were literally they're listed as hipster. One.
Oh, really?
Too, yeah.
Oh my god.
You know, but there are, you know, if the news is on, you will get the bartender and this one guy at the bar discussing politics, sort of heated, but it's not going to go very far.
Yeah.
Or you have people talking about football and getting angry with each other and things like that, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool. Another question for you. There was my favorite moment. I mean, we can talk about our favorite moments of the episode. My favorite was one of the most just odd sideway jags that I've seen in a long time. And Louis is known for this. There's a guy, an old man that walks into the bar.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I totally forgot about it.
How did we forget about that?
Old man walks in the bar.
That's great.
Says, is this Horace and Pete's? It's still around? Whatever. He's like clearly in his like his 80s or 90s or whatever. And he talks about how he
met. His name is the very old man.
Right. And he gets into this long sort of speech about how he met his wife here, fell in love with her as he drank his first drink, and it was this great romantic thing.
Remember, he used to come in as a child to get a bucket of beer for his father.
Pail.
Right.
A pail of beer.
And it goes out. This is just brilliant writing, and I hope to one day be this good at what Louis does.
You won't.
But of course I won't. But he just goes into this whole thing of the romanticism of the moment, and then it slowly turns that all of a sudden he was in love with his wife, and then his wife started sleeping with his best friend. And then the best friend was making out with his wife at that very bar, Horace and Pete's. And he came in, saw it, and then shot them both.
Yeah.
And
but then...
Go ahead.
But then it wasn't even that. Like, that wasn't his point.
Right.
His point wasn't to say, oh, yeah, I killed two people in this bar.
Right.
No, his point was to say, oh, yeah, I literally just got out of prison.
Right.
Because of it. And just came back.
Yeah. Memories.
And then and then he gets a beer, which is the best.
No, then he starts crying first.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He's sobbing. Well. And old Pete.
Uncle Pete.
Just offers him a beer.
Yeah.
A beer.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
And then what do you make of that?
And then just nobody talks about it.
Yeah, what do you make
of that? Like, everyone's just like, okay.
That's one of Louis's, like, that doesn't connect to anything, I don't think. That's Louis just having fun with the writing. That's Louis just throwing stuff up. Like, he'll do this. You guys, I don't think either of you watched Louis.
I watched it a little bit.
I've seen episodes.
Yeah. There was an episode of Louis where he's on a date with a girl, and the date doesn't go well.
I think I've seen this one. I think this is one of the ones I've seen.
Right. And at the end of the episode, the girl just runs off
and
goes
inside
a helicopter that just randomly appears and flies away.
Yeah.
Like that's just what Louis does. And his explanation is, you know, as an absurdist artist, what does this mean? He's like, it's absurdism. That's all it is. It has to be this way because that's the way that I thought it up and that's the way I want to do it.
Yeah, it's strange for the sake of being strange.
Right. And I think that was an example of that. And again, it gave more of an idea of the types of people that are going into these places. And also, if we want to connect it back, the idea of the tradition, the older times, a fonder time, a more innocent time, is clouded by this horrible detail. It's like, first, it appeared the same way that Alan Alda was talking about tradition of, oh, we, for years and generations, passed down this bar. Also, in the meantime, we were beating our wives and being horrible racists and doing horrible things. Yes, and Horace was actually a horrible father, and so was Pete. You know, the idea of a story sort of playing up, you know, tradition and making it seem better than what it is when really there's a lot of truth, sad truths being hidden there. Same thing with this story. The idea that it was a fonder time. It also ended with murder, and I was put in jail for it.
I mean, I also think it's important to note just the fact that, like, as far as the liberal and conservative mindset, conservatives tend to be much more tradition-focused, and liberals obviously are much more progressive-focused. Mm. And so I'm wondering if that is, like, the overall arching theme of this entire show, is basically the question of, is tradition important or not.
Yeah. And it doesn't take a side. Or at least it hasn't yet. And
not so far, no. It's pretty...
Yeah.
And it's not even that it's unbiased. It's just that it takes different biases at different times.
Right.
Right. Because, yeah. Like, I don't want to say it's objective. It's not objective.
Well, it is objective in terms of how it views its characters. And that's...
Yeah.
And that is a result of not directing it at all, basically. That's what you get when you don't direct and when you don't have the camera, like, being judgmental towards your characters and you just shoot them. It allows the character to just be who they are. Yeah, there weren't
any high angle, low angle.
Right.
Nothing crazy.
So when
there was that one little crash zoom, but I think that was an accident.
Great crash zoom,
by the way. Like, the camera got, like, tripped and just went, oh.
Yeah.
just zoomed into Buscemi real quick while he was, like, flinging a broom.
But, yeah, no, you're 100% right. The idea of it's this push and pull of old way, new way, and it really doesn't pass any judgment on
you
it.
You know what else, too? Now that I'm thinking about it, I think the show itself is a metaphor for that because he's using old traditions of filmmaking in a new medium,
right?
The internet.
Right.
And I think just overall, the idea is really just traditional or progressive. Like, it's...
Yep.
That's what it's about.
Well, all we can say is that's what possibly this episode is about.
I suppose you're right.
But you know, what you were saying, though, the structure of the show, though...
Even the structure of the show.
If they continue to make it like this, which I assume that they will...
It's a teleplay, essentially, which is the oldest form.
It's old television made on the internet and in very new ways with newer ideas.
And he's arguing, like, maybe he's arguing, you know, is this the way we should do television? Right. Is the new way better? Is the old way better?
Yeah.
You know?
It is a clash.
And I don't think he has the answer.
And that's also, if we're tying it back to Louis and delving into him as a person and an artist more, we can connect this to recent comments made about Donald Trump. I don't know if you guys heard this, but over the weekend he sent out a newsletter, all of his fans and supporters, saying...
Trump did, or...?
No, Louis C.K. did. Saying, listen, guys, just please, let's not vote for Trump. He literally called Trump Hitler. He said, this guy is Hitler. However, he recognized that I'm not voting Democrat. I'm going to vote Republican this year. Not because I'm a Republican or a conservative, but because I think we need to go back the other way. We had 8 years of Obama. I want to vote for the conservative guy. Vote for Rubio, vote for Cruz, vote for Kasich, whoever. Just don't vote for Trump. And I think that's I didn't know that about Louis. I assumed he was probably liberal because most people in Hollywood tend to be that. But the idea that he believes that life is not an absolute, like, I'm 100% right 100% of the time and this is the ideology. Both people can be right at the same time. It's about negotiating that
I think battle. It's about a balance, really.
If right.
you stray too far one side, it tips over.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think really it sort of goes back to Louis C.K. has, I can't remember the entirety of the joke, but the basis was he says, and I quote, "I have many beliefs, but I live by none of them." Like, you can believe, oh, you know, this tradition, this is good, but then be like, oh, we shouldn't do it. I like it. It's tradition. We should do it. But let's not do it.
Of course.
Of course.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that sums it up right there.
Yeah.
We actually think did a pretty good job digging into this.
Guys, this is the second
week
in a row.
I think we're becoming...
That we're actually reviewing it.
I think we're becoming professionals.
Next week, we gotta watch shit. We realize.
Yeah, we do.
We're Kung Pao next week. How's that sound?
Let's just do a marathon of shit stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard analyzing. Because, again, I still don't know what this really is. I have an idea of what he's going for. But I don't know if this is a TV show, if it's an internet video, if it's a home video, if it's a drama,
comedy. You
know,
tell you this. I'm going to be buying the next Fox.
Well, I was going to say, actually, this is one, if you guys want, we haven't done a series in a while. This is one we could pick up on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I actually wouldn't mind. And we don't have to do it all at once.
Yeah.
We can do things in between.
Yeah, we can spread that out a little bit.
If you guys are up for it, I'm up for continuing the show.
Do a whole Horace and Pete. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's all I'm doing. Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we haven't done that since...
Since Danger 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, since that trailer.
And even then, but...
Nice. Let's try it. Maybe in a couple weeks we'll revisit episode 2 and...
Yeah, maybe like...
Two at once, maybe? You could try that? Because I think the rest are half-hour episodes, so...
No, the next one's 51, the next one's 44.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They have no idea what the show is, huh?
this is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that'll be just be nice to, you know, do the really shit stuff, make fun of it for an hour... Do that for 2 or 3 weeks, and then do something serious.
Yeah, then delve into the mind of Louis C.K. again.
Yeah.
It is, it's heavy in there, man. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. There really is. Yeah, I don't think we necessarily did it justice, but I think we did get to the core of what this show might be about, and I'd like to see where it goes.
I will say watch it, definitely.
Definitely
this,
watch it.
This is hands down the thing we've watched that I'm going to say 100% go watch this. Yeah. Everything else is sort of, if you want.
Well, I think people will hate it, though. I do think people will hate it.
Yeah. You do need to be a certain kind of person to like this show.
It's a tough watch, too. Like, it's kind of tough. Like, if you're not into this sort of thing, it's going to be tough to get through.
Might be tough to watch alone.
I think I still would have liked it alone.
I think I would rather watch this alone. No, to be dead serious with you, I think I would rather watch this alone.
I don't know. I still would have laughed at Buscemi just sulking as Louis and his daughter argue.
That was so uncomfortable.
I was dying. I didn't even know why I found it that funny. I just found it funny.
Yeah.
Come to find out, he's a schizophrenic.
You and I were dying the entire episode.
Oh my god! And his sweater. We should just mention Buscemi had an unbelievable red sweater.
Oh, it was great.
It's unfortunate we can't put it in the top 10 pictures of Steve Buscemi because it's already taken.
Part two.
It's just 10 pictures of him in that sweater.
Yeah.
It's just different.
It's just the same picture 10 times.
No, just different poses. Doo, 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 doo. 10 frames. Like,
you have to scroll really fast and it makes a scene.
It's like nothing.
No, you gotta get the one where he's stolen the broom. That's what it needs to be.
Oh, yeah, so.
All right, anything else? We're at an hour.
Hey, we did good. I'm proud of us.
Yeah, I got shit. I mean, Louis's a genius, and I love him very much, and I'm confused by him, but.
I'm convinced he's Van Gogh. He's going to cut his ear off.
Okay. Ooh. That's really all he can
maybe,
go.
Maybe just the lobe. Maybe he won't go the full Van Gogh.
He just keeps just... He wants to be Van Gogh, for sure.
He just circumcises himself. He's like, this is the same, right? That's something he'd do. You know what I mean?
Definitely. On that note.
All right. You've all been naughty.
Very naughty.
Very naughty.
In stereo!
Stereo.
Oh, you need to turn the audience on. You gotta turn them on. You gotta turn the audience on.
What else am I gonna do to him, Nick?
Fuck the audience.
Get up on the mic some more so they can hear you.
You're gonna fuck the audience.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, why do we tear ourselves to pieces? I just need some time to think. Or maybe I just need